Karen, my gosh, this guy, I think if he is indeed guilty, everybody wants him put away. Can we talk first about the governor being approached, asking if the reason this guy's out is a flaw in the Safety Act?
Well, first and foremost, he did have 70 arrests, Lisa. That's just an incredible record. And, you know, most of those were done at the time where we didn't have a Safety Act. So you really can't blame it for that. But if you really think about what the Safety Act is, it doesn't say that a judge doesn't have authority to keep someone in jail. In fact, it gives the judge complete discretion as to whether or not to keep them in. The only thing that it took away was cash bail, which means that if the judge said, okay, if this guy comes up with $10,000 and he came up with $10,000, he would be out. And if he couldn't come up with $10,000, he'd be in. So the judges in these cases that where he was in front of them made the assessment that he wasn't of danger to the community and released him. So there's going to be a mistake made. It's not the law, it's the judges.
Is it unusual for a domestic terrorism charge when it's against one person?
It's unusual to bring it at all. In fact, the U.S. attorney admitted that this might be the first domestic terrorism case brought in Chicago for a crime like this. I mean, other than something that is against the government or that. So this is very unusual to call this domestic terrorism. And basically what they did was they went under the provision that said that if you do something, including setting a fire to public transportation, that falls under domestic terrorism. And so that's what they used to bring charges in the federal court.
I remember when someone set the Walking Man. We all love the Walking Man in Chicago, and someone set him on fire and killed him. That guy got 47 years. What are the possible penalties for Lawrence Reed?
He can get up to life in prison under the terrorism statute, and with his prior record, that might just be the case. There's even talk that he could conceivably be given the death penalty because we don't have one in Illinois under their state law, but the federal court does have a capital punishment, and if they attach it to this charge, if she dies, God forbid she does, then they can seek that if they choose.
Interesting. Maybe that was the reasoning behind bringing federal charges.
Well, yes, and they're much more serious than just an arson or attempted murder or any of those other charges. And it's really very interesting that the feds came in immediately and brought these charges, and the police here are stepping back and allowing them, of course, to bring those charges. My guess is that if for some reason the charges get dismissed because the court deems this not to be terrorism, then, of course, the state authorities are going to come in and charge them.
So has the Chicago Police Department not brought charges yet?
They have not. They are deferring to the feds. And again, they might, just as backup charges, or they could be waiting to see what happens with the federal charges. And then, like I said, if they're not successful or some judge dismisses on a technicality, then the state could come in and the Chicago Police Department could bring those charges.
Okay, with this, this guy's arrest record and criminal history, obviously, it looks like there is a history of mental health issues. No doubt about it. I mean, who does this type of thing? So what happens next? He's already said he wants to represent himself in court. That should tell you something about his state of mental well-being.
Exactly. Well, what there's going to be next is a mental health competency evaluation. And this is much different than the insanity defense, which is what you lodge when you go to trial. This is a question of whether he's even capable of understanding the charges against him and helping defend his case. And there will be an extensive examination of his mental health. He will be going to a facility where doctors will be giving him testing, and they will come up with a determination as to whether he is fit to stand trial. If he is, then he will be incarcerated until his trial, and he will go to trial. Now, if he is found not to be competent to go to trial, they will medicate him, they will give him treatment, and if at some point he becomes able to be competent and to participate in his defense, then he will go to trial. If he doesn't become competent, then he will go through a hearing to determine whether he will go to a mental health facility, which he probably will, and where he will go and what treatment he will get and how long he will be there.
I feel sorry for the other patients in that mental health facility, unless they're criminally, unless they've been criminally charged like him, because, dear God, he seems to be a menace to everyone. What about the victim?
Well, yeah,
how is she going to pay for this?
My understanding is he got kicked out of a mental health facility for assaulting one of the healthcare workers. So you're absolutely right. He's going to have to go to a place that has serious security safeguards.
Right. Nobody would be safe around him. And what about the victim? She's 26. I'm sure she's going to be disfigured for life. Does she have any recourse?
Yeah, well, you know, she could probably try to sue the prosecutors or the system. That's always hard to do. You know, why did he get out? Why was he out so many times? Why was he arrested 70 times? Why was he out on this last charge? Why wasn't his electric monitoring working? I mean, all of those things failed. But again, it's really hard to sue the government when it comes to those things. I think the better lawsuit, if there is going to be one, is against the CTA. This guy had a pass. This guy had done violence on the CTA before. He had done violence all over the place. And, you know, when you put a person in a contained environment like an L car, and you've got hundreds of people who are minding their own business and going to their hard working jobs, you know, it's a very dangerous situation. Could you possibly have a system to bar certain known criminals from using public transportation? And should that have been done in his case? I mean, maybe that's the better lawsuit.
Interesting. Well, I pray that she survives. Thank you so much for joining us.
Me too. And happy Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you. That is Karen Conti, Conti and Dolan, and the news is next.
Windows and doors sticking? Cracks in your drywall or brickwork? These can be signs of a structural foundation problem. PermaSeal can help with that. Before you pay an expensive consultation fee just to determine the problem, call PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL for a free inspection by a certified consultant. When the work is done, you'll have a transferable warranty and priceless peace of mind. Call PermaSeal today at 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Oh, how's that flu, babe? Did you take DayQuil Intense Flu yet?
Nah, I got this. Ugh, okay, I don't got this.
You stay on the couch, and I'll grab the DayQuil.
Undo your flu symptoms with DayQuil Intense Flu. DayQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms.
I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu. The daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu, medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
Just in time for the holiday, Chevy Red Tag is out at your local Chevy dealer, and you can save big with 0% APR financing on a brand new Chevy Equinox. It doesn't get any lower than zero. Go to Chevy Drive Chicago for details, and together, let's drive.
I'm here with Home Sweet Home Chicago real estate attorney and trust planning expert, Dave Schluter, who has been practicing law for nearly 40 years. Dave, if parents with young children pass away